You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Justified Season 5, Episode 4, Over the Mountain. I'm John Comerford, and I'm joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody.
Stephen Bottomley.
That's me.
Matt Lieberman.
Hey, hey, hey.
And in the booth, Roya Tahiri.
There it is.
Okay, thank you very much. Way to be on top of that. Okay. Lots to happen here. We got Tim back with a little something extra in his Calvins. We have Ava having a new suitor. Mm-hmm. We have Dewey saying a wonderful prayer. And we're going to start off with Messer meeting his maker. Because now I was saying earlier that I thought this was fun for me, except really sad because I like Wade Messer as a character and it was wonderful. But more than the sadness of losing him as a character, what was equally sad was that now we really get to see what's going to be this season, which is Dewey's demise as well. So those two things are linked. And I felt horrible about the whole thing because as much as I wanted Dewey to have a bigger role in this season, this is sad for me because we not only lose Messer, but we're going to lose, you know, he's no longer an innocent.
Yeah, but it's given him some amazing material to play. Like, it's so interesting to see Dewey, you know, push to his limits and really have to confront the life that he's built for himself versus who he is inside.
Yeah, because he really doesn't belong here. He doesn't anywhere, not even close to Daryl, his cousin. I mean, he really, you know what I mean, in terms of the level of...
And as much as you don't want to, there is a likability to Dewey. I mean, as bad as this guy is, there's still, you do, there are moments where you go, okay. So when he had to do this in order for his character, I thought that was a great way for them to do this, where it was messy, but he eventually kind of got the job done as reluctantly. I mean, they had him dropping the bullet. They had him, like, running around. This is not his forte.
Thank you.
And I thought it was a really good way for the writers to figure out, okay, well, let's just have Dewey have a bad day at the office.
Right, bumble through his job, right.
Exactly.
But are you guys stuck with that? Because on one hand, because he's so inept, and I don't really think of him as evil, despite the tattoos and all that other stuff, you know, as opposed to the evilness of Daryl or anybody else that's on the show.
I mean, he's a very simple person.
Yeah,
he's not very smart.
Horrible choices.
Yeah, life has kind of let him down, you know.
Right.
I feel like he didn't get the kind of love or education that he needed when he was growing up. No one, you know, was able to diagnose what he has. and, you know, prejudice is learned. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I feel like on some level, it was a survival instinct that then led him down a path that now, you know, I feel like this is his first person he's ever had to kill.
Right.
First time
he's ever
committed a murder. And then it goes so horribly wrong in this, like, wonderfully Coen-esque kind of a sequence. You know, it's enough to make him drink a whole handle of tequila, which is what it looked like was happening in that trailer.
He lives in the moment. He doesn't have a long-term plan. He thought he was set. Mm-hmm. You know, $300,000 in a bar.
Right.
That's it, man. What do I need?
And it wasn't just a bar.
And
I mean, let's face it, he had
a house of ill repute.
And that cool above-ground pool.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I mean, we were talking about how you sort of expect to see him evolve, you know, a little bit.
Hopefully.
And you know, maybe this event will...
Well, yeah, he's going to go
in a weird way, help him evolve. But, you know, you had said,
he
got his money and everything should be fine. You know, he had the pool. But, you know, what they always say about money doesn't make you different. It just makes you more of what you were.
Yeah.
And so he's just in a bigger, you know, arena now because he's having to be a boss. Mm-hmm. He's being called to task by his cousin. You know, and doing, you know, whose side are you on? What part are you playing? How is this going to be? Even Boyd said to him last week, you know, stand up to these people.
Yeah.
Show them who you are.
And he was so prescient in the first episode because he was saying he doesn't like his cousins. And for now, we know for good reason.
Because they're bad news.
And he can't stand up to them.
No, and this is not the family he wanted anyway. They impose themselves on him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so now
and he doesn't
just saying,
have the wherewithal to.
No. And again, to what you're saying, he's not a guy that's going to like play the chess game and figure it out. He's just going to upend the board and say, I can't do this, and I'll find someone who can help me.
Right.
Yeah. No, the Dewey Crow's never going to be the same after this. And like just kind of like heartbreakingly funny as he rolls down this hill and, you know.
It's quite a tumble.
Right. He wakes up in the morning, no signal, and he kneels down to pray.
Oh, let us pray.
The best prayer I think I've heard ever.
Yeah. Jesus, if you help me find him, once I kill him, I swear I'll straighten up. I'll go to church, Sunday school, whatever you want, but God damn it, I'm going to get this thing done. You understand.
Yes, of course.
Don't let me die out here in the woods like an animal.
Right.
Bullshit.
Yes. Right.
Yes. So funny.
Yeah, it was extremely well-written character-wise. I mean, nobody else but he could get away with that.
Right?
Yeah. And then, you know, the Lord answers his prayer.
Of course. He shows him a sign.
Yep. Finds blood.
It's the blood.
Right
because
there.
Blood of Christ.
God loves Dewey Crow, apparently.
That's true.
But not so much Wade.
No. Evidently he chose and Wade lost.
You know, we can't do this, but I'd like a moment of silence for Wade. But we can't. We have to move on. But and that was, I mean, because James does such a great job at that character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not going to have him anymore.
Yeah, but, well, it looked bad for him last week when he had his head in a dryer.
It did, but I thought I thought, you know, they'd save him just because he's such a, well, like, but they never save any characters there.
No, why would they?
Yeah, exactly.
But
why
I mean, the second best thing to having him around is having him play such a vital role in linking these storylines. Because even last week, you know, we have all this plot, but, like, where is it going? How is it all going to tie together? Why are the Crows and the Crowders going to feud? And then all of a sudden, you know, Wade's a CI, huge surprise to everyone involved. Yeah. And, you know, now the Crowders are back. We learn not only are they back on the Marshals and the FBI's radar, you know, but they have been that they went so far as to get a CI in his operation. Mm-hmm. You know, he's now a bigger player. He and Wynn trying to take over all the Kentucky heroin trade. So he's a big player. The Crows are now going to be coming after them. Because they had been skimming off the top at Audrey's. And, you know, now Raylan is investigating both of them. It's like, it's a beautiful gift for us story-wise, because now we get to see them clash all season and not have to wait 8-10 episodes for Raylan to start to, like, you know, get on to investigating.
Yeah. And, but wasn't that great? Since you just mentioned it, having Raylan and Boyd in the same room again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
boy,
that was awesome.
Yeah, the dialogue there was great.
Because remember, you know, Boyd always thinks they're still buddies.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
He really thinks that, you know, we have our little thing, but we're still friends.
We dug coal together.
Like,
That's right.
We are not friends. We will never be friends.
Yeah.
Well, but I think Boyd is kind of understanding that now.
I think he gets it now,
Yeah.
One would hope.
But, you know, earlier, what was it? It was the first season, second season? I can't remember when they were talking about it, meaning the actors, when Zimbabwe and Walton had always... In his mind, he always played it as if they were friends.
We're besties.
And
from
Timothy
grade
had always played it. No, we were never friends.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting because those choices they made separate from each other.
Yes.
They didn't even know they made those choices until later.
Yeah.
So but I think that's changed now.
I love that though.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful.
You know, it totally shows in their relationship. You know, Boyd kind of grew up knowing Arlo and knowing that whole side of the business, even though he and Raylan didn't get to know each other that well till they were digging coal together. You know, I'm sure Boyd on some level feels like he understands Raylan. Just Raylan is the one who maybe made the wrong choices.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could be doing this together. Like, you know, it's the worthy adversary thing. Like, I'd rather have you as my friend, but you just keep getting in the way of my stuff, man.
Well, you know, this is a little off topic, but I just wanted to say that, you know, there's sort of been a consensus with people that I've talked to that season 2 has been our favorite. Mm-hmm. And it was the season where we really, like, got embedded in the holler. We learned about the Bennett family, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the coal was, and the, you know, the mining and all that stuff and the mining company and all that was part of the, you know, it was really heavily involved in the whole storyline. And we've become very removed from that ever since. And, I just think that's an interesting choice and different because it was one of the great things about, you know, living in the holler. Then one season we got to go to, Noble's holler, you know, so we're kind of staying more in the cop show genre. Mm-hmm. last season and this season.
Yeah, yeah,
and
we
not so much in the culture of the Kentucky Haulers. Mm. And I think that's one of the things that some of us loved about
right. Those, it didn't always feel like a crime show. It felt like a drama that took place, you know, in this world,
right.
And you know, featured good guys and bad
but,
guys.
Right.
We could make the argument that they're heading back to that because we got the Crowders and the Crows.
True.
And it's really this one, and they've even said it. It's all about the family.
It's
all about.
Yeah.
Family.
However, I have yet to have a desire for barbecue like I did.
Right when we were Nobles Hauler.
Absolutely,
yeah. It's the most important thing.
Yeah. After like every episode, I'd be gone. I got to find me a barbecue joint. Damn. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, let's talk more about the Raylan and Boyd because, well, first of all, it's great to have Tim as part of this particular storyline
yes.
as well. But unfortunately, we only got him for, what, two or three scenes.
I know. And he was yeah. such a welcome addition.
It was a breath of fresh air when he came in there, except for the Calvin thing. Yeah, that may not be so fresh.
Not the freshest.
No, air. No. But a great line from him delivered. I mean, it was like, geez, that guy's great. We've got to get him in this more.
I loved the Raylan's line, you know, like, you can lock up your dog or we're going to paint the ground
with
yeah
it.
Which is just a brutal line but yeah. you know very very justified
you know yeah. and Danny standing there pantsless
yeah, yeah.
So there you go, Tamara, you got to see a nice
yeah
one.
Hey how about, yeah how about yeah. Danny
fun
ass,
for that
huh?
A little scratching.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the Grammyost interview from Entertainment Weekly, there was a little talk about that the actor actually suggested they were going to have him wearing underwear, mm-hmm. and he suggested he be naked. And okay. he was originally going to be wearing underwear, and he says, someone else said, hey, how about we see your ass, and here's a sock for your
mm-hmm. okay, yeah,
thing
gotcha.
That rhymes right. with sock. And he said, which that made it one of the most memorable days of his career.
I have to
here's
imagine
a sock
that
for your...
would be that would be on the list.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. How many days when you go to work do you hear that?
Not that's true.
Very often.
And that was the day you could not find a gaffer on the set. I don't have any tape for no sock. Dude.
And oh my god, I don't have any socks on today.
Yeah.
Today was the
bummer.
Day I forgot to wear socks.
Okay, you know, pardon the pun, but it was a good end to the scene. But what I was thinking was, okay, now if that really happened, I was like, what do you do? Who walks around the house
yeah,
with that
why
flannel
would you
shirt
put
on?
A shirt?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But and he had his shoes and socks on too. It was like,
right.
What the hell is that?
I just don't like pants.
Exactly. I'm in my castle. I can walk around however I want.
Mm-hmm. I look good in this shirt, but yeah. I don't like pants.
And, but it also,
I wouldn't leave anything hanging around with Chelsea in the house.
Exactly. That's my point. You got that vicious dog, and it's like, well, wait a minute. That's
weird. That looks like a dog toy.
He did call her his chocolate lover.
Yeah, he did.
Actually,
so,
it is, but it is a man. Actually,
yeah,
it's a male dog.
It's a dude dog.
It's a male dog.
But he's
deeply confused.
Yeah, maybe there was a very dark scene we didn't get to see.
Yeah, that's what
I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering. I was going, what happened just before they showed up?
Yeah, we had too
maybe
much
if
plot
we get
in
that
this
actor
episode.
In, we can ask him.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes.
Talk about the day you had a cocksock.
But I hate to derail.
He said it, not me.
I hate to derail, but I just want to go back to Tamara's point earlier about the theme of the season and really about of the show as being family, which was really, really hit home this week. And the more that we get into Allison's character and what she's coming from, we get that scene where she talks about, you know, the child that she had just picked up that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole show, you've got these families, whether they're feuding or they're on the right side of the law, wrong side of the law, you know, how does Raylan feel about his father, his father picking Boyd as a, you know, the better
protégé.
Son.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now we've got family versus family. We've got Raylan ignoring his own future family.
And there's that Marshall family because Art definitely is the father figure now.
For Raylan,
And he's been betraying Art behind his back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how disappointing that's going to be when
it comes around to Art
my God,
learning everything.
Yeah.
And Art is doing the dad thing. He's trying to figure out
Absolutely.
What his kids are up to.
Yeah.
Yeah. The look on his face when he left that interrogation room, he was just like stone. He was so angry.
You're talking about when Art went up to see Will Sasso and in Detroit and found...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, I mean... From that, I'm guessing that you think Art knows exactly who it is and what's happened.
He, or at the very least, he
Not
has a very
details,
strong
but,
suspicion.
Yeah, because who else could it have been?
Right.
But it's, you know, it's one thing to be there and to be part of or be privy to this hit. Mm-hmm. Another thing to be, as Sammy
instrumental
put it,
in it,
or Sammy said he was in his pocket.
In his pocket.
Which is completely different.
Yeah,
from
but
just,
I don't think for a second Art thinks that. That
Raylan's
Raylan was
in his pocket.
No,
I don't know.
I don't think that. I think Raylan, but I think Art would think, okay, he's done something.
I've got a problem.
Yeah, because you know, Art let's face it, every time Art says something to Raylan, he knows what Raylan's thinking 10 steps down the line. That's right. Why he always says, you wouldn't take somebody there who's a civilian, would you,
right.
to the house. He knows what Raylan's going to do.
Right.
So I think he knows what's up in the sense that he knows that Raylan's is somehow involved in Nikki Augustine's death. To the details, I don't think he knows that, but I don't think for a second he thinks that Raylan's in anybody's pocket.
No, but he does know that sooner or later he's going to come across a mess he can't clean up, or it's going to cross the line, or whatever.
Which is what he said.
Yeah, and this is, I think this is the one he's realizing that, you know, I can't, this might be the one I can't fix, or this, mm-hmm. you know, this is going to spend, because the FBI is involved.
I mean, how many times has he cleaned up Raylan's mess?
More than twice.
He's enjoyed doing it every time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always been the plus of his day.
Right? He has a blast. Why wouldn't you want to clean up Raylan's messes? Yeah. So much fun.
Absolutely.
Drive down to Harlan, you know, arrest some people, let some other people go, explain some things. It's just a good time.
It's big fun.
Well, let's face it. I mean, last week he sent Rachel out there to chaperone, back up. And this week he sends Tim to back up. So he knows something's up.
Yeah.
And it's not just because, you know, there might be some dangerous elements for Raylan.
Not that there aren't.
Yeah, no, there are. Clearly there are, but Raylan's never needed it. But I think he thinks, that's why I think he wants somebody close. He wants some more information, that the information he's not getting from Raylan.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
That's why I think that's happening.
Okay. Well, I was going to jump way far ahead, but it's the meds. So
Steve and I are both on allergy medication today.
It's brutal in
LA. And it's a little weird.
So sometimes John's talking. Sometimes I see a lizard screaming at me. I'm guessing I'm seeing only half.
I want the kind of allergies you're treating.
I know, right? Damn.
That's a good allergy.
If you only had one mouth, you could.
It took me a second. I'm there with you. Yeah. I support you. I trust you.
And we don't even have any apple pie this week.
I know, no apple pie, because we would both be asleep if we did.
Okay, but the scene between Raylan and Boyd, they're playing the script. Well, that when right before Raylan comes in the second time, Tim and Boyd
are playing Scrabble.
Scrabble.
Yeah. And Tim's got Lardzon.
Lardzon. So, Z-O-N.
Well, you were saying that they were.
Right. So apparently they had set up the board with lots of, you know,
Scrabble board with
crazy words on it. And Timothy Oliphant wanted to get a shot of it in the show, and it just wouldn't work because of lighting. So they had to cut it.
So the only thing we got.
But apparently we got to see Lard, but there was a lot more on the board that we missed, unfortunately.
But that does kind of give you that feel of, like, you know, the cartoon with the wolf and the shepherd.
Yeah.
The sheepdog.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Frank Hale. You know, where it's just kind of like, okay, we're just waiting to see whose job is up. You know, it's just hanging out playing Scrabble. You know, with the bad guy and the good guy. And it's like, oh, downtime.
Yeah, when are the bullets going to start to fly? Who's going to get put in cuffs?
Oh. Yeah.
It's a matter of time.
I loved when Raylan, just as he's talking, he just effortlessly empties the shotgun.
Yeah. Bing,
bing. You know, and just like their whole tête-à-tête, when the second time he comes in and he's talking about how, you know, Wade's dead and it's, you know, any jury in the world would believe that you were behind it, and Boyd just has a brief moment of like, so what are we gonna do? Here's if we wanted you arrested,
it would have been done.
Yeah, it would be done by now. I know it's the crows, so. I don't know if I'm skipping ahead too much, but, like, you know, they're probably going to clash next week. The Crowders and the Crows are going to meet.
Yeah, but I don't think that Raylan knew it was the Crows. I thought the reason why he went there is because that Boyd sent him there. Boyd gave him up. He's the one that said you should be looking at the Crows.
Boyd gave him the phone number.
I'm talking when he came back after he found him.
He was pretty certain that it was the Crows.
He didn't say anything, though. He didn't say that. Boyd was the one that finally, because they were, I think he was fishing, and it was Boyd that said, look, it wasn't me. If you're looking at anybody, you should be looking at the Crows. Mm-hmm. I think he was just looking for information.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly by the time that he got back to Lexington, he was 100% convinced.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But I think it was because
I don't think Raylan ever, like, after he first found. After he found Wade's body, I don't think he thought it was Boyd. Boyd's too careful for that.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I for the reasons that Boyd said. He said, why would I show you where the body is? That would be, that's not something I would do.
Right.
But I think, I was just surmising that I don't think Raylan knew exactly who it was. So he said all that to Boyd just to say,
look, to fish.
Give me something.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think that, you know, and once he got that, I think that's why when he went to the Crows, which was another great scene. mm-hmm. Between he and Daryl and all that language going on there. I'm telling you, they had so much fun with the dialogue this week. For me, anyway, I thought the between Raylan and Boyd and Tim, mm-hmm. and then later on with Daryl and Danny and mm-hmm. Jean-Baptiste and
yeah.
Kendall. And
Kendall,
all
yeah.
Well, it's all different shades yeah. of this very kind of wordy way of speaking. You know, Boyd's, his are, you know, very, you know, preacher-inspired.
Yeah, but I swear to God, it looked like they went to the thesaurus right. and go, okay, let's see, how many different...
Right. You know, but you have that, and you have, like, Daryl's, which is a bit more colloquial and yeah. kind of dirtier, but he is educated, versus Dewey, who's not educated and is even more colloquial, you know, and then Raylan, who's, you know, just very, like... I don't know how to describe how he talks. He's like a book. He's like a leather bound book, and it opens its pages, and then it just starts spouting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we talk just
Kendall,
real quickly?
Well, just for quick, hang on to that, because part of that scene between the crows with Kendall was being the only one with any kind of sane reasoning.
Who?
Kendall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it looked like it was going to come down to okay. Let's do it. Let's throw
well,
it down.
There was a lot going on under the water with that whole scene. There was a lot of side looks. There was,
right.
you know, Kendall obviously knows a lot more
yeah.
than they're comfortable letting him go. And it played on different levels. It played on him. He's attacking the family. He's trying to break up the family right after talking yeah. to Allison about that horrible scene.
Right.
He's dividing and conquering. Raylan, he said, let's.
And I'm watching it and I'm thinking, Raylan, do you really have justification to do this? Or do you just have some sort of paper and
well,
saying.
Behind the bar at a yeah. whorehouse.
And he just had that stuff from Allison. So.
I'm just wondering if that paper was really what he was saying it was.
But you think the paper was fake?
I feel like he couldn't take. He couldn't have taken that kid from the bar yeah. without proper paperwork.
And let's face it, Allison would know how to get it quickly.
Yeah,
that's okay. true. That's right. true.
So I just figured, you know, it's a one-page document. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sign it. Go.
But okay, you guys who have not been taking antihistamines, tell me what did this "you know what to do" thing that Kendall? That was Kendall's last line. Is he gets called out of the room? You know what to do.
I think it's to call their sister.
Yeah.
It's to call their sister.
Get the lawyer, Wendy, right. Yeah.
Get me out of yep. this. You know,
get me out of this,
of
and I'll be home. I can't imagine that this is the first time
yeah.
that Kendall's been pulled out of their home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. got it, right.
So that's what I took from away, right. away from it, too.
He right. doesn't seem very innocent.
No, he does not.
What are you talking about? He's like a bouncing baby boy, fresh from the manger.
Okay, yes. must be the manger.
I mean, he was so much smarter than Dewey. Even to me, I think he's even smarter than Danny.
Yeah. yeah.
The kid is sharp.
Daryl, do you mean?
No, Danny.
Okay.
The one who was trying to sneak up to the side.
With the cock. Sock. Sorry,
yes,
sock.
Thank you.
Sock is what I meant to say. Sock.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just let's back up the tape.
but the, you know what I liked about it is there's your showdown. They're already showing it to you. It's going to come. You know, I'm sure that later on in the series that Raylan is going to have to come up against Daryl. Mm-hmm.
So what about Jean-Baptiste just sort of lurking in the back?
Yeah,
all
well,
along?
That's yeah. He's
you know he's that's not accidental. They don't do things
nope.
accidentally in this show.
No. Yeah,
nope.
So I mean, we don't need to make predictions about it. And if we want to, we can do it during predictions. Mm-hmm. But I just you know I find it interesting that he's just kind of back there. You know. Sort of mm-hmm. whittling and you know picking his yeah, teeth all
exactly.
the time.
Oh, yeah.
You never know what's going
yeah.
on with
He'll,
him.
I mean, I'm sure coming down the road, he's going to surprise us with just how vicious he
yeah.
is.
Let's face it, they call him the Haitian.
Ones.
And
yes.
He's the one that gets rid of all the bodies with the gator. So
yes.
that'll be interesting to see how he decides to get rid of bodies here.
But he also is, you know, he's going to survive regardless. So,
oh, right. Yeah, know, he doesn't feel any family affiliation
no.
with these people. No.
So if it takes selling everybody out,
yeah.
He's selling mm-hmm. everyone out.
Yep.
But he does have that kind of red shirt feel to me.
What? That he's the sacrificial lamb?
Yeah.
That to me is Danny. Oh. Danny, I feel like, would die before Jean-Baptiste.
I do, too.
So the order of demise is going to be Danny Jean-Baptiste,
Jean-Baptiste, and then Daryl. Yeah.
Well,
Dewey, maybe.
Violence lies ahead is a direct quote from Graham Yost. Not that we would expect anything else, but
that's good because
TV
the body
exclusive.
Count has been a little light. You know, it took a long time for one.
You know,
they
did
show
anybody,
a bunch of bodies, but
did we
know,
have any body count this
Wade.
Week?
Wade Messer.
Wade Messer.
That's it.
Well, let's face it. We saw the other bodies, but they've been dead for a while.
Yeah
but we counted them in other. In
yeah,
that
we did
episode.
Already.
Does the hand count?
No, that's no. probably that's from one of the bodies.
That's one of the bodies we've already seen. So we only had one body count.
So did anybody at all, when Raylan was there at Audrey's with the crows and that, and then before he took Kendall, did anybody think that gun was going to come out and there was going to be anything happening? Because I thought for a second that someone was going to get shot. Not necessarily
Kendall,
killed. Not Kendall. I didn't think Kendall would get shot.
Kendall was behind the bar, you mean?
No. The last time
he
went.
The last scene when he's taking Kendall. Yes. Yeah. No, I didn't think that it was going to go
I thought
off.
Danny was going to do something stupid and was going to lose his foot or something like that.
He was thinking about it. And, you know, interesting, this is we very rarely see Raylan walk out with his facing the room. And every, you know, he turned away, walked backwards, got to the door, turned away, walked backwards as well. So he was facing those guys the whole time. So he was a little concerned about it himself.
Right, and that's how you gauge how bad the bad guys are by how the good guy reacts.
Yes.
And so you know that he's really concerned about just how nasty these guys may be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're short on time, so we got to move on. Yes, I wanted to get to Ava's situation in prison, so we got to see what she gets to deal with.
With her new friend.
Yeah, Albert.
Albert.
Ficus, or whatever his name is.
played by Danny Strong.
Yeah.
Who, you know, he did a lot of TV back in the day. And
I know him from the Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, there you go. Gilmore Girls, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, now a very successful writer.
Super successful.
Wrote Recount and Game Change for HBO, and now he's doing Mockingjay Parts 1 and 2 for the Hunger Games
series. He's involved
in
The Butler, too.
Yeah, he wrote The Butler. Mm-hmm. And, like, really weird seeing him play against type here. Yeah. I've never seen him play, like, seedy.
No, yeah.
So it was, like, really shocking. And great for Ava to have a storyline this season.
Yeah,
something
to do.
Just, right? Like, sitting in jail.
Yeah, she's just been on the periphery of Boyd's story. And we got to see, you know, her and Boyd together when they had that meeting with Johnny. But, you know, this isn't over.
No.
Whatever just happened here, there's going to be
repercussions. Well, and, you know, what I was wondering is, Ava's protected, but that scene between Boyd and Johnny and Ava, and then us seeing that Ava's protected, is she protected by Boyd or is she protected by Johnny, maybe?
Interesting, I don't know.
Because that scene seemed slightly benign, but there's no such thing as a benign scene and Justified. And so I was trying to figure out, what is this all about?
Yeah, and even Johnny said, look, you give me a call, I'll come around.
Right. Is that what it was about? Was it about him trying to get Ava to... I mean, I cannot imagine Ava leaving.
I would think
Boyd
Johnny
for
would
Johnny.
Want, yeah, I think Johnny
well,
would want
I
her
can.
To know that he was the one protecting her,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to Boyd. But that's an interesting point. I don't know.
Well, let's face it. They've been pushing it this way since the beginning of the series, season, I should say, because Ava's losing faith in him. He's not getting
that's
her out of prison. And each episode that her belief in him is
it's getting whittled
more
away
and more. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't get her out and Johnny can, I can see her switching allegiances. That doesn't mean she doesn't love him anymore, but I think she wants out, and maybe she just doesn't trust that Boyd can do it.
I don't know how much juice Johnny actually has.
Right.
Like he's linked to Hot Rod. He
there
has
you
his
go.
Backing right. in terms of taking over the heroin business, but I don't know how much pull he'd have in a prison. You know, the relationship with Hot Rod is still very fresh.
That might be part of the deal. I mean, who knows? He might be asking Hot Rod for help, because I'm sure Hot Rod would have some pull.
You know, maybe it's a situation where Ava is going to switch alliances.
Yeah.
But then Johnny and Boyd will get back together again, and everyone will be happy.
Well, again, that was all about family there, too.
Again. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. For
we
sure.
Can put
and
aside
betrayal.
Our differences and all
and,
that other stuff.
Right.
Offer money.
What bothered me the most about this scene, though, we knew that Johnny and Boyd weren't going to get along.
Yeah.
Was that, you know, that Johnny leaves the room and Boyd and Ava, they look at each other and then Boyd just walks right out.
Not a word said between them, which is why I was saying, I can see her asking Johnny for help. That's why, I mean, why would he put that out there and then not follow
through? And her face, too, in that. She did not look, you know, pleased about how that whole thing went.
And the fact that this happened to her when Albert, accosts her, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the thing.
Threatens and accosts her.
That she's going to go, okay, Johnny, I will call you.
Right.
It did feel like we came into the middle of a conversation, an argument between Boyd and Ava.
It's the same argument they've been having.
Which is interesting. They're not even bothering to represent it now. Yeah. It's just their current state, and I think Boyd really didn't like somebody peeing, you know, on his turf, and he's kind of like going, "Damn, this is more than just a little annoyance. This is someone." Serious. And like you said later, if you want to cut down a tree this big, you bring a big saw. So I don't know if that was directed to
That's Hot Rod.
That's directed to Hot Rod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, anyway.
At least he knows the players. But yeah. What I didn't get was what was the last scene with the bodies?
It was a very sudden ending. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, like, what's that about? What's that foreshadowing of what?
And again, might be the meds, but I'm still confused about how they're going to be able to make Paxton believe Boyd's dead. Because if Paxton is able to put Mooney in his pocket, but... So Paxton doesn't have anybody
Mooney's,
else out there?
Mooney's no longer in...
It's just going to take one person to see Boyd to get back to Paxton and go, Boyd has both his hands and he's walking
around. Well, I mean, you look at where he was this episode. He's keeping a relatively low profile. Paxton's not leaving the house. Mara, I assume, is trying to regulate his communication with the outside world.
Sure.
And then, so somehow they're going to keep him completely isolated through Mooney and Mara.
Yeah. Okay. And I also think that they're going to use these bodies to discredit Lee. Because here's the thing. Lee owns a mortuary, owns a funeral home. We have the connection to Mara, who has the technique and the expertise to somehow dress up these bodies. We have all these bodies of criminals if they're somehow buried underneath, you know, Lee's funeral home.
And Lee
doesn't
suspect Mara is going to do anything.
No. Right.
Either discredit or blackmail him to changing his
Right.
Well, I thought at first that he didn't suspect Mara at all. But then when she left the room after she asked about Ava Crowder, he gave like a little grunt of like, huh, that was weird.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like maybe he suspects something.
Yeah.
Well, I guess his nature is to be
suspicious.
So I guess maybe you're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he does mention about the smell of the hand, like, you know, this is
it's
old.
It's not very fresh.
Yeah.
Not like fresh hand smell.
Mm-hmm. No, fresh hand smell is so much different than old hand
they
smell.
They do, in my experience.
I hate
my vast
old hand.
Experience.
That's how you know when they're not good.
But that was a weird way to end the episode.
Yeah, it was very sudden, and I have to assume that they ended it that way because we're going to see those bodies employed very early in the next episode. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Probably a fake plane crash.
Speaking of next episode, one of the things that he mentioned several times was that episode 5, which is next episode, is going to sort of pave the way for the rest of the season. We're going to get a lot of information and big doses of everything. He says everything is laid out next episode.
So we're going to need an hour and a half after Buzz.
Right? Exactly.
Right. Speaking of time, we're running short. So what do we have for news and gossip? Let's move on to that.
Let's
so we
do
can get
news,
to the other
news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Very interesting interview with Erica Taisel, which I will tweet out the link for. I don't want to read it all because we're kind of hoping that she'll come on our
we'll
show.
Talk to her directly.
And I don't want to end
up... mentioned that she would. We're just working out.
Yeah. She was a pre-med college student who was kind of deciding between theater and medicine and kept her medicine, she kept her science and math courses going. Mm-hmm. And then one day the theater called and she never looked back.
Interesting
how she talks about that. She talked about when she got the role on Justified, how she didn't want to look like a girl with a gun. And kept trying to be, do ride-alongs with the LAPD, go to, Glencoe, the training place. They wouldn't let her in. So she got her training with a technical advisor who obviously did a good job with it. But, you know, interesting, she said over and over, I didn't want to look like the girl with the gun.
Mm-hmm.
She also said that Rachel, this season, we are not going to see a lot of her.
Oh,
which is a big bummer because we love her on the show and she really adds a lot to it. So interesting interview. I will tweet out the link for that. Okay, let's see. Timothy Oliphant has been working the interview circuit.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Gadzooks. He was on Chelsea Lately the other day where he sparred with her a little bit. Kind of interesting. Not very much of an interview, more of a, you know, weird, awkward flirtation between the two of them. He was also on Ellen yesterday and really... working the Omaze thing, the Omaze.com thing, where he's trying to raise money for his, I assume it's his children's
and
schools
wins the raffle.
Charity. Right, and so the raffle is to go shoot guns with him.
Did he dance on Helen's?
No.
No, he did not.
He did not dance?
He did not dance. So anyway, if you're interested in helping out his charity and maybe getting a chance to shoot guns with Raylan Givens, go to Omaze.com. We got a couple of comments on, I believe this was on the Twitter, from Jim Thompson asking, we've seen so little of Art and none of Tim. Is there any chance of a spinoff series with Art or Boyd? And I say a resounding no. I think you guys agree with that. Am I right?
Yeah, I don't think they will.
Yeah.
I think it should be a sitcom.
I would.
I'd like an Art one. Yeah, I'd love just a Marshall show. But who
two
knows?
Kooky cops who don't get along have to solve crimes in Kentucky.
I would watch that show.
I know. Well, and as people Raylan keep talking says. A lot about how they would love to see more of Tim and Rachel, and also Boyd and Raylan seeing together. They, you know, a couple of people were just going on and on and on. I would watch
the early years.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. A prequel or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so interesting notes and comments there. And that's all we have for
you. You know, maybe they could all form a band and live together.
Yeah. No, not going to happen.
Okay.
All right. So I guess our last thing here is what predictions do we have? Does anybody have any predictions?
Yeah, I predict that they form a band and live together.
No, that's not a good prediction.
Not going to happen.
And I got nothing.
You're After Buzz TV.
All right, so we just surmised a little bit about what the heck those bodies are all about. Matt, you came up with the idea that he's going to use it to somehow discredit Paxton so he will recant his statement regarding Ava and then she'll somehow be free.
Yeah, I'm wondering also if he's able to somehow lump in his two problems together and somehow link Hot Rod to Tuli so that he's trying to take out two birds with one stone. I don't know how he's going to do it, but that's my hope.
Well, I'm going to piggyback on that and say I think that's exactly what's going to happen because we can't have Ava in jail any longer.
No,
I mean, not any longer,
well,
but, you know, it just starts to get really boring, and we want our Ava
and
back.
And she's protected, so what's going to happen to her? Nothing. And I'll just go out on them and say it's Johnny that's doing it just because...
I just think the
logical choice is Boyd, but that's because Johnny has such feeling for her.
You hate logic.
Yeah, exactly. I hate reason.
Yeah.
But because Johnny has such feelings for her and he's trying to prove it, I mean, he said, look, call me and I'll come.
Right.
So I'll get you. So I just, who knows? I'm just going to say that.
I think Dewey buys a bigger shovel.
Okay.
I think you need more antihistamines.
I think you need more antihistamines.
But that's all I got.
Yeah.
All
right.
Okay. Yeah, bummer that we had to be so short today, but next episode is going to be a big one, according to Graham Yost. So hopefully we'll get everything worked out so we can talk a lot next time.
All right,
awesome.
Before we go, tell them where they can find you.
Okay, you can find me on the Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find me here on AfterBuzz TV on Almost Human, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Cougar Town, Lost Girl, and Sherlock for one more week. Also, if you love live comedy and you're in the LA area, you can see me perform at the IO West Comedy Theater on Hollywood Boulevard as a member of DJ Fawcett the first Sunday of every month. Next show is February 2nd at 9 p.m. So you can watch Super Bowl and come out and watch some
there
great live comedy. It's going to be great. Also, I have a web series dropping tomorrow called Improversations. If you love improv or interested in the world of improv, it's a scripted, funny series. It's about the world of improv. Improversations on YouTube.
God, I hate following you.
I know. I'm exhausted.
God. I'm at Bottomly Steven.
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
All your stuff's in development.
It's true. I am at Tamara.
I'll keep it posted, though.
I'm at Tamara Berg, TamaraBerg on Twitter. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com. I've got a video up there that I would love for you people to watch.
You better.
About champagne.
Yeah. Ooh, lovely. Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm.
All right. Great. So that's it for us here. We'll have you next time. Good talking to you, and we'll see you
next week.
All right.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, apple pie.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.
Thank you for watching AfterBuzz TV on YouTube. For more of your favorite after shows and interviews, subscribe to our channel here. And be sure to share your opinion on the episode in the comment section below here. We'd love to see what you guys are buzzing about. Thanks again. Buzz you later.